Members of Alaska's congressional delegation are panning a proposal that could close federal courtrooms in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Fairbanks. The federal government is considering closing up to 60 court sites in 29 states to cut costs. The Associated Press reports the top 10 potential closures are located in rural communities in the south and on the east coast. Fairbanks is 15th on that list, Ketchikan 25th, and Juneau is 37th out of 60. The closure rankings are based on cost, usage, and location. All three Alaska courtrooms are located in federal buildings that are also shared by other federal agencies, so it's unclear whether there would be any substantial savings to taxpayers from real estate costs. Senator Mark Begich says he's all for cutting the budget, but still unanswered are questions about the actual cost savings and any jobs that would be eliminated. He also says it would be a disservice to shut off Alaskans' access to federal courts. Senator Lisa Murkowski says it's penny wise, pound foolish to remove three out of our four courthouses and ask all Alaskans to travel to Anchorage for federal legal proceedings. The state's lawsuit against the builders of the fast ferries has been shelved indefinitely. Juneau Superior Court Judge Philip Pallenberg declared yesterday that proceedings in this case will cease. That was after he had a chance to research the law behind a motion to move the case out of state court and into federal bankruptcy court. However, the motion was not filed by the company currently in bankruptcy. Instead, it was filed by the remaining co-defendant in the state's lawsuit over allegedly defective engines. If the case ever gets remanded back to state court, Judge Pallenberg says he'll consider then if he will sanction MTU Friedrichshafen and MTU Detroit Diesel for potential impropriety or use of the motion as a delaying tactic. Attorneys for the state and Alaska Marine Highway System got blindsided Wednesday by the motion to remove the case out of state court. A hearing had been planned to compel MTU to provide witnesses for deposition. The Alaska Marine Highway System believes that the engines for the fast ferries Fairweather and Chinega are defective. The vessel's builders, Director Shipyard of Connecticut, dropped out of the case when the company filed for bankruptcy protection in January. Trial in state court had been planned for September. As much as 18 months in prison for a man who tried to scam Juneau pharmacists out of narcotics, 44-year-old Robert A. Binninger turned himself in to Unalaska police in January. A Juneau grand jury handed up a 44-count indictment against him and a companion on drug charges. Yesterday, he changed his plea on two of the charges. The other 20 felonies filed against him were dropped as part of an agreement with prosecutors. Assistant District Attorney Angie Kemp says 29-year-old Danya Owens would say that she was calling in prescriptions on behalf of a dentist. She would also say that Binninger would pick them up. Kemp says the Foodland AMP pharmacist, who also works at Juneau Drug, got suspicious with the prescriptions placed by cell phone. Binninger picked up 20 Vicodin at Safeway last August and another 20 at Foodland in September. According to Kemp, both Owens and Binninger said they knew they messed up or screwed up. The pills were for personal use only, not resale. Binninger said nothing in court yesterday besides answering routine questions, asking a few, and then entering guilty pleas. His sentencing is planned for May. Owens' next court appearance is April 26th. Another telephone scam has hit Juneau, this one for check fraud. According to Juneau police, a man has been making calls saying he's pursuing a $10,000 federal judgment for check fraud against the person answering the phone.
And he said that he was from her bank.
JPD spokeswoman Cindy Brown Mills says one Juneau woman told police.
She called her bank, and it was fraudulent. He was obviously trying to get money out of her. But he had some really interesting information about her, some old work history and things like that.
Police in the Alaska office of the FBI says there's been an increase in recent weeks in the number of telephone scams in the capital city, including the so-called grandma scam. Con artists targeting senior citizens pose as a family member who's been in a car accident, is stranded, and may be calling for money.
If it sounds fishy, it probably is.
Brown Mills says in all these cases, the caller sounds believable because he has personal information about the family, often easy to find in these days of the internet, especially on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter. Brown Mills says it's hard for local police to investigate the scams because they often cross state and even international lines. That's why they're referred to the FBI. If you get such a call, never give out your personal information. Best thing to do, just hang up. Alaska's redistricting board will be hearing from Petersburg again as it puts together a new plan for the state's legislative boundaries. The Petersburg City Council recently voted to resubmit a proposal that it remain in a district with Sitka instead of being bundled with the much larger city of Juneau. Matt Lichtenstein has more on the story.
Petersburg City Manager Steve Giesbrecht spoke with the city's former redistricting attorney last week, shortly after news broke that the Alaska Supreme Court had ordered a new redistricting plan. Giesbrecht told the city council about that conversation Monday night.
He at this point is not suggesting that we get him back involved. It's not time for that. But he did suggest that if the council was interested, that a letter going back and stating our original case might be appropriate to get it in the hands of the redistricting board.
The Alaska Redistricting Board has started meeting to work on a new plan in compliance with the court order. The justices essentially found that in an effort to first satisfy the Federal Voting Rights Act, the board failed to meet requirements under the state constitution. The court told the board to produce a new plan that first complies with state law and only then, quote, make revisions that deviate from the Alaska Constitution when deviation is the only means available to satisfy Voting Rights Act requirements, unquote. Petersburg's mayor and councilors agreed the ruling provided the town with a second chance to pursue their concerns and asked the board to reconsider the town's request from last summer that it remain in a legislative district with Sitka. Councilor Mark Jensen.
I think it'd be a good idea for the city staff to resubmit that along with some information to the redistricting board, just, you know, reiterating what the Supreme Court said about following the state constitution and putting that before the Voters' Rights Act.
Petersburg has long shared a Senate district with Sitka, Wrangell, Ketchikan, and some smaller towns. That district's currently represented by Republican Bert Stedman, co-chair of the powerful Senate Finance Committee. The redistricting board's current plan shifts Petersburg to a district that includes Juneau and Skagway. Petersburg challenged the plan in court but lost and chose not to appeal. The Supreme Court ruling is the result of another legal challenge from two Fairbanks residents. According to the order, the board can ask the court to allow use of its current plan, for the most part, in the upcoming fall elections if it's unable to draft a new plan in time. That was a concern for all the Petersburg counselors. Here's Sue Flint, Nancy Strand, and Rick Braun.
Reading that, it sounded like we're still going to have an election in the fall, and we're still going to be electing Juneau people, and Cake and will be, and Ketchikan will be electing Bert Stedman's position.
If they haven't come up with a new plan by the time there's an election, then they'll use the proclamation plan, which is so.
That's going to be very disruptive.
It's going to be very hard for candidates, for voters.
The councilors agreed to raise that issue in their letter to the redistricting board as well. They also voted unanimously to allow the city manager to spend up to $10,000 to rehire the city's redistricting attorney if necessary. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
And a 51-year-old Wasilla man fitted with an artificial heart in a six-hour surgery last month has left a Seattle hospital to begin what may be a long wait for a heart transplant. Artificial heart patients typically have been tethered to a 400-pound mechanical driver, requiring them to stay in a hospital until a donor heart becomes available, sometimes a year or longer. Christopher Marshall is using a backpack-sized portable driver being tested by the University of Washington Medical Center and similar centers. Marshall is about one of 40 in the entire country trying the 13.5-pound device. He was diagnosed in 1999 with an irregular fast heartbeat and a disease that destroys heart muscle. His condition worsened dramatically last year. When he and his wife arrived January 23rd in Seattle, they expected a short visit. Instead, he was told he was so sick he needed a new heart now.